Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter if you want to talk to us throughout the show or argue with us. Right. Call his names. Sure. You can do that too. That happens as well. It's always a nice place to do it if not brave enough to call in.
Most people opt for the Twitter when they want to insult us.
I know. Because they're not brave enough to call
651-989-5855. Come and insult John.
Bring it.
That was nice.
I know. It's just true though, because you've got a bizarre show armor that I do not understand.
I don't either.
If you follow us on Twitter and you know to look for it, you got to go and check it out. It's really interesting. Yeah, he gets interesting show armor, and I don't know why.
I don't either.
I don't know where it comes from.
We John and I agree on a lot of things. You know, we come at things from very similar perspectives on a lot of issues. We diverge on here and there.
Is it a smarmy thing? Am I more smarmy?
I don't know, but there are people that will take like great issue with stances that we both take.
Yeah,
but with John, they're angry.
Yeah, the guns with just come blazing at me.
Hey, Drew.
See, I think I've been
I slightly disagree with you.
I've got exasperation armor. I used to get a lot of "Oh, come on" tweets, and now he's gonna do that.
Well, John, charisma is the key to opportunity.
Yeah, is that, okay, we'll take it. 651-989-5855.
Stand-up coming.
Whoa!
Your words are hurtful.
And the target is turned.
And now Brian Manano's going to yell at John because of that.
Yeah,
right?
Come on, John. One of those moments where I'm glad Sam is not here.
We do have Brian Miller's second clue for your chance to win a four-pack of Acme Comedy Company. Again, this is a stand-up comedian who went on to have great success in movies. If you think you know the answer, tweet it using the hashtag TCNT or email it at andrewlee@iheartmedia.com. Out of everybody who gets it correctly, we'll do a random drawing at the end of the show for a four-pack of tickets to Acme. What is... Well, first, give us clue number one again.
Clue number one. He's played in one movie. He played he and himself.
Okay. Clue number two.
Riddle me this. He got famous in America, and yet he's from Canada.
Oh.
All right.
Oh.
All right.
That's unusual.
Mm. Yeah. Well.
Is it Brian Adams?
I was going to say, the answer is blank J. Fox.
Hey, Teen Wolf is a great movie. Right?
Yeah.
Love that movie.
Such a,
I would recommend for Halloween. Everybody go back and rewatch Teen Wolf. It's fantastic. It's so funny. This is a great metaphor.
Here's why I could never get into Teen Wolf.
Boof.
Well, I loved Boof.
I know you love Boof.
I love Boof. So it's not like I didn't like the movie, but he jumped when he shot his free throws.
Yes, he totally does.
They could have taught him to do that. They could have.
I'm going to have to add that to the list because right now I'm working through both. I'm working through both Thing movies. And I'm actually watching the prequel first, which isn't that good, but it's fun to go from prequel to the original.
Oh, you're not talking about the 90. You're not talking about the original.
No, I'm not going back to the 43 version.
Oh, you should. It's great.
I know. I've heard that. I know, but it's old.
I love old movies. It's so great. I love it.
I like the Mary Elizabeth.
The 2011 one. It's okay.
No, it's pretty good.
Like it's okay. It's it's solid.
The one that basically ends at the beginning of
right.
the Carpenter.
Right. It's not the 82 version, but it's solid. And then American Werewolf in London. We had a lengthy discussion about American Werewolf in London.
Where do you stand on American Werewolf in Paris?
I only saw it once. Soundtrack was a lot better. There was a great Bush song on that soundtrack.
Yeah, it's a garbage movie.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
I never saw it.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
American Werewolf in London is fantastic.
Yeah,
that's such a good movie.
That's a classic. That is a bona fide classic.
Yeah. We'll have to do a maybe not this week, but between now and Halloween, we need to do a sort of maybe a special edition or extended podcast only edition of Movie Talk.
Yeah. We should
doing Halloween movies.
We totally should. I can make a list of the best movies you've never seen, horror movies.
I like it.
There's a lot of great unseen horror movies.
All right, this week, people in Minneapolis, out of City Pages, have been receiving end of personalized text messages from Betsy Hodges and her re-election campaign. The messages call out the recipient by name and refer to that by name to that person. So Larry in one case, Adam in another, and then jump right into the campaign's message. So, for example, Betsy took the city's electricity from 1% wind and solar to 39% in her first term. She has us on schedule for 100% by 2022. Sound good? By the time it was through, though, one text had spilled into a second, and more than a few recipients were wondering why they received either. Anyone in hashtag Minneapolis get a text from Larry in favor of Betsy Hodges' environmental record, wondering who's pushing this SMS campaign, said an individual on Twitter. So can you respond? I mean, that's the only thing that makes it fun. Like, it only, this would only be fun if this was actually, if Betsy Hodges was doing like Trump. Like, if she was sitting down and hand, you know, texting individuals, that would be fun.
Right.
To do. And then get her response.
I texted Jacob Fry one time, or maybe it was on Twitter. So I think it was on Twitter. I asked him a real question, and he was like, we always enjoy responses from our constituency or whatever. And then I was like, are you a robot? And then I realized he actually had written the message himself, which was way more disappointing.
Yeah.
Like, right. That's your game? You are automation.
Reminds me of when Ringo Starr responded years later to Marge Simpson. Like, eventually you get to everybody.
Numerous people have questioned how it was that the campaign actually obtained their phone number. One individual, Kevin Watterson, who tweeted about getting the texts on Tuesday, is indeed political and has an extensive background in campaign and communications work as a Republican. So what gives is this, as one tipster asks City Pages, somehow an illegal use of private resources.
Mm.
Yeah, it calls that into question.
Kevin and I used to work together.
Yeah?
He's a big Dodger fan.
I remembered that I used to be one.
Yeah,
I think it's just a bad strategy because no one's gonna get an unwanted text that's basically spam and then go like, oh, that makes me more likely to vote for that person.
I know, right?
It makes you dismiss the message. All you think about is that you got bothered in the middle of dinner or a movie or whatever. Somebody was bothering you.
Yeah, if you were a Hodges supporter, would you care? If I were
already a Hodges supporter, I'd probably shrug my shoulders and go, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
If I were not a Hodges supporter or if I were on the fence, I think I would be annoyed.
It's mild, but it's a small negative. But send an email. Email's what you check at your own time.
I hate unsolicited text messages. I hate getting text messages from just a number.
I think now that you're expected to have your phone with you at all the times, right? Like, everybody in your life will freak out if you're not accessible all the time. So then people getting your spam to your text and your phone feel so intrusive because you're like, I'm forced to pay attention to this stupid device, and now people are using it to come at me.
Well, if you're a millennial like Kevin Watterson, he just had a freak out wherever he is. I think there's a couple of things we can't discount. One, traditional campaigning is near impossible. The way
right.
campaigning was always done does not work anymore. So you have to continue to try new things. And then the second thing is that with ranked choice voting, it's not just, are you going to vote for Betsy or not? It's like, well, maybe is she going to be your second person? Well, you know what? I like what Jacob Fry said about X, but you know what? Betsy evidently did do some good stuff. I'm going to make her my second person, and that matters a ton in how we do our goofy voting in Minneapolis.
So Alex Steinman, the communications director for the Hodges campaign, says campaigning via text message is not only not criminal, it's common. He says a lot of campaigns are doing this now. It's a 21st century campaign program to what you were saying there, Brian McDaniel. Just like you would get an email or a door knock for somebody, this is how we're using the text program. But here's the thing. He talks about the recent contacts or one-on-one communication. I'm going to go back to what I said before. This only works if it was actually Betsy Hodges. If it's actually the person and they, and then you kind of go, oh, is it? And then you text and you actually have a brief exchange.
Right.
That to me, that one-on-one interaction, okay, that's memorable. That's meaningful.
That would have value.
That has value.
That would have value to me.
Yeah.
Not some Larry dude.
Yeah, and you get a chance to ask a question or two. Right. You know, you're like, hey, here's a burning question I have, and she could answer it. And that would feel like something.
It'd be like almost a version of like the Reddit AMA.
Yeah,
you know, if she did like a little, like, hey, for 2 hours on Saturday, I'm going to be available at this number, and you can text me, and I will text you back, and do a sort of an AMA type thing, a back and forth, and it was definitely Betsy Hodges. Yeah. That's something that I think would have value.
Ooh, text, like a text town hall.
Yes. Yeah.
If you were going to go this route, it seems like it would be better to do it in a Twitter. It seems like it would be better to do, like, you know, to tag somebody's Twitter and go about it that way. Because then at least it's more out in the open. You have a better opportunity to reach people. This seems very, very short-sighted. I do understand it's more difficult to campaign now. They have to look for better ways. But this seems like a misuse of a potential better opportunity.
I think she should wait till like 11 or 11:30 at night and then just text people, hey, you up? No capitalization, you know. Little sleepy emoji.
Hey, it's Mayor Hodges. Hodges, you up?
Hodges After Dark.
When you're married and you get a hey you up text, it's never exciting. You're like, oh no, what errand do I have to run this late in the evening? It's not like, you up? No, no, no. That's not what it means.
Right. 651. Yeah? What's that?
Nope.
What?
Nope.
Yep. Joke filter.
Politically bad or marriage bad?
Joke filter kicked in on that one.
Joke filter.
Yeah.
Nice to see it's working. Mine's broken.
Think about that, though. If you were Hodges, you had those numbers, and you just said, just take an hour. Just take an hour and do like a burner phone. So it's not her phone itself, right?
Sure.
And just take an hour and think about how many direct messages you could go back and forth with somebody and have a one-on-one connection. That to me seems somewhat valuable.
We just got using the hashtag TCNT, listener Stefan just texted in a screenshot of the text that he got.
Mm.
On this. And it says, hi, Jason.
Oh.
It's like, my name's not Jason. Yeah. So, first of all, questionable tactic in the first place to employ this sort of direct texting from a staffer that you don't get a response from, and when you call the number it can't connect. All right, questionable tactic to begin with, but then to also start getting the names wrong of the people you're texting.
Well, just starting
this is
off
just bungled from the get-go.
Starting off with the name you immediately know. You know, the only time I'll address you like specifically is if we're in a group text, right, and I want to aim it right to Drew. Bam! But I don't just go. You know,
I never start off a text, hey, John.
Yeah, exactly.
unless I'm trying to be stupid.
You know, it's that disingenuous thing where like a car salesman uses your name too many times, and you're like, that's worse than if you didn't use it at all.
Yeah, get your hand off my shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
651-989-5855. All right. We're giving out clues. Well, we're not. That would be Brian Miller's giving out clues for your chance at Acme Comedy Company tickets. So we've got two so far.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to get those two out. We have another one coming up.
Yep. I got the third one whenever you're ready.
Okay. Let's do the first two that you had, and then we'll do the third one coming up in a moment.
And at the end of the show, we'll do a random drawing from everybody who guessed correctly using the hashtag TCNT or emailing me at AndrewLee@iHeartMedia.com for a 4-pack of tickets.
Yep. So the first one is in one movie, he played he and himself. And the second clue is riddle me this. He got famous in America, but he's from Canada.
A.
All right. Coming up, we'll have the third clue, and we need to put a bit, and I need to, a little bit, just need a moment. We need to put a bit of a, got to put a warning out there. Okay, we're going to be getting into a few stories. Okay, some of them are of a sensitive nature. Some of them are of an adult nature.
Ooh.
Okay, so we've been holding off on these. So I just want to give, we don't do warnings often. Okay, they will be obviously FCC compliant, but they are some stories of an adult nature. So if you do happen to have the little ones listening, you know, I just want to give you a fair warning on that. We'll try to make it as family friendly as possible. But one of the stories we're getting into doesn't necessarily fall into that category, but it helped lead us down that path. The Minnesota man facing more charges after throwing the pig's foot into a Somali food stand. We had some audio of him last week, and apparently now he's.
Are we going to revisit that?
We can have that discussion here in just a moment, and some of those other stories we talked about, including a bill in Wisconsin that you got to sit back and go, was that necessary?
Apparently it was.
Apparently it was. It's all coming up on Twin Cities News Talk.
You're listening to.
Join us in supporting the YMCA. Kids who play sports at the Y build character, develop self-confidence, and create healthy relationships. Help build futures by making a donation now by texting YSPORT to 41444 or visit TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com.
Whew. Justice and Drew.
Guys are really yucking it up in there.
Brio.
Huh? Feel kind of left out.
No, you don't. This is a radio faux pas. So our apologies, but
it's my fault.
Drew decided to share something during the break that just kind of struck us all as funny.
Don't say.
Yeah, and then we can't talk about it. So we apologize for that. Brianne, let me say this much. Okay, you've been doing a fantastic job, and also be really thankful you're in there.
Yeah.
I'll play it for you
later.
Yeah.
And then she will immediately go on Facebook with the hashtag Me Too.
Post wine scene world, guys.
Yeah.
Drew, you should put that up on the page. It's at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. And it'll post. Edited version.
Okay. We'll play it on Monday.
using the hashtag TCNT. All right, we do have prizes to give away. Your opportunity to go to Acme Comedy Company. Remember, speaking at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, you can register to win your holiday office party at Acme there at the website. And if you want to book your own office holiday party, you can just go to AcmeComedyCompany.com.
So Brian Miller is giving out some clues. Famous stand-up comedian turned famous Hollywood celebrity or film star. Third clue, Brian Miller.
Third clue. He's never been an astronaut, but he has played a man on the moon.
All right. Okay. So tweet your guesses using the hashtag TCNT or email them to me at AndrewLee@iHeartMedia.com. Just make sure to use that hashtag TCNT, otherwise I might not see it. And I will compile everybody into a list, and we will randomly pick a winner at the end of the show.
Pioneer Press, Forum News Service. Two more charges have been filed. Do we still have the audio available there, Drew? I don't know. We haven't. Is it still up there? Okay. Two more charges have been filed against a Wilmar man accused of throwing a pig's foot onto a farmer's market stall operated by Somali vendors. Joseph Francis Fernkey, 61, was originally cited for misdemeanor disorderly conduct in connection with the August 12th incident. Now, according to the formal criminal complaint filed late last week, he is also now charged with one count each of third-degree and fourth-degree criminal damage to property. Fernkey has allegedly swore at the vendors and threw the pig's foot onto their food stand because the pig's foot was considered biohazardous and all of the food and produce at the stand, $160 worth, had to be discarded. The case drew statewide attention, sparked a call from the Council for American Islamic Relations for hate crime charges to be filed. He did not do himself any favors during a particular interview that took place.
Right. From our friends at the Minnesota News Network, somebody landed like a one-on-one interview with this guy, and they sent us a few of the clips from it from the Minnesota News Network. And really, they can all be summed up in this brief clip.
I'm not prejudiced. I'm not a bigot. I'm not a racist. I just don't like them Somalians.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I missed. He was from Wilmer, but where did the incident take place? Where did he
incident?
Doesn't say, sorry.
No, it was at the where the food stand was. Let's see. Here we go. It was a county. It was a county area family. Nope. I don't know.
All right.
No, sorry. I hadn't gone far enough in the story. Yeah, I don't think that interview helped him either.
Surprise, surprise. He's not a great defender.
Right. Yeah. All right.
Well, I mean, for, you know, if you're someone who it occurred to you to just do that, you're already a couple steps behind the rest of society as to your judgment and your decision making. So it's not surprising.
I'm not prejudiced. I'm not a bigot. I'm not a racist. I just don't like them Somalians.
Yeah. Nobody's shocked.
You know where this we need to send this guy to Florida. This guy needs to be sent to Florida. That's where we send him, Drew. Sorry.
That's just where
I guess
go.
I should feel good that I left.
Yeah, well, you know, I never thought Florida's basically like the dirtbag Guantanamo Bay. All the people that are too dangerous to keep on the mainland, we send out to the edge of the peninsula there.
Do you know why we get, or it seems as if we get, so many ridiculous stories out of Florida?
Why is that?
It has to do with the rules between law enforcement and the media. So I don't know what they exactly are, but the access that media has to law enforcement files and cases is a lot less lenient there. And so a lot of stories that normally the media doesn't get immediate access to, they immediately get access to in Florida. So you end up getting these rash of ridiculous stories because of that relationship between the media and the law enforcement, which is why it looks like
Florida. It's a slow news day in Florida. They just go and they look at the go pull the police records.
Sure.
Let's find something weird. So the thought process is, as those types of weird things are happening in every state, there's just not like accessible open media police records.
I think this sounds like something Florida would say.
I was just gonna say that sounds like it's coming like a statement from the Florida Board of Tourism.
You're right.
The personal version of this is, no, baby, that almost never happens. You see, it's a normal thing. I mean, for me,
sure. Yeah.
Protest too much.
Out of the Associated Press, this is not from Florida. I kind of wish it was, because this is a little too close to us. Madison, Wisconsin. Mm. It would be. This is where the caveat comes in, by the way, everybody. Just letting everybody know. This is where the warning came from earlier. Okay. It would be a felony to have, clean it up, relations with an animal in Wisconsin under a bill circulating in the legislature. Under current law, this type of particular relations with an animal is only a misdemeanor. So they want to make
it a felony. Apparently that wasn't enough of a deterrent. They had to up the deterrent quotient there. Like, you know what? It's already a misdemeanor. You know, with this probably we probably need to make it a felony.
Not I don't in know. Wisconsin.
My favorite regular sized legislator always tells me that we need to just up the penalties. We don't need new laws. Right. We just need to up the penalties.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they clearly made that calculation over in Wisconsin for.
We do have a particular incident that
animal-human relations
brought this about. It was a Republican state representative circulated a bill on Thursday to increase the penalty. He referenced a case in the town of Eaton involving a man who faces misdemeanor charges of animal abuse after an incident in February involving a horse.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
Ooh.
No.
The bill...
I thought got to see a man about a horse was an expression.
The bill would also increase the penalties for repeat offenses. He says the...
At a certain point, it's almost impressive. Like, you committed four misdemeanors in one night? Good on you.
He says the bill would close a loophole, changing the definition of what that contact to be more inclusive
might
of...
Not need to be what needs oh, to be closed.
Loophole.
Yeah.
Okay. So it would change the definition of the contact to be more inclusive of contact with any part of the animal for that type of gratification.
Wow. It's also, by the way, a misdemeanor to have relations in Minnesota with a Wisconsinite.
He says the bill was drafted in consultation with district attorneys, farmers, and animal advocacy groups.
Yeah.
What's going on in Wisconsin? You people are gross over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're so upset about the Aaron Rodgers thing. They're turning to all manner of comfort.
Well, but you know what? It does explain why Sam's MEA horse camp, the average age is 47.
Also explains why the hodag looks so angry.
Ooh.
What's up?
You know they held a vigil for Aaron Rodgers' collarbone. There was a town in Wisconsin that actually held a vigil for Aaron Rodgers' collarbone. That's pathetic. That is
yes,
pathetic.
It very much is.
That it's is really pathetic.
Almost like it's all they've got to live for.
Well, apparently that end.
Well, they will. Yeah.
Yeah, they've got two things to live for.
We have
a felony now, though.
To move off by this as quickly as humanly possible.
Hey, you brought it up.
Certainly not going to go to the other story I had in the stack.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Well, there was a guy who got a PhD in a certain... Man, we won't go there. So, okay. Let's go here, though. We had a conversation... I think it was earlier this week. Okay, we had a conversation about the faux pas you're not allowed to do. Right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So we just had one happen. This is a really really good really good example. We just had one happen. So Drew in the story over. No, you didn't do it. I did it. I'm the one that did it.
Well, even if he did it, you'll get blamed for it.
All right. So in the story of the Minnesota man who faces more charges for throwing the pig's foot into the Somali food stand, okay, I mistakenly said Wilmar instead of Wilmer.
Sure.
Okay. Brian McDaniel, right? I caught it.
You got that? You caught that?
I caught it. No, but it wasn't just you. We talked about how there is no leeway given, and it doesn't matter. This is a global phenomenon. It is not something that is just in the United States. It is a global thing where, you know, you can say all kinds of different things, but if you don't pronounce one thing correctly, that's what people zero in on. And the tweets are already coming in.
Especially in Minnesota. Oh, man. Especially, like, you mispronounce Edina. Or when I first came here, I was like, oh, I'm going to Nicolet Avenue. And they're like, you idiot. It's Nicolet. And I was like, just because you people mispronounce crap doesn't mean...
Yeah.
It is such a weird phenomenon.
Now, the funny thing is, so I lived for many years in Southern Illinois, the nation's capital of mispronouncing stuff. And there is a town, C-A-I-R-O, because it's Little Egypt, and it's pronounced Cairo.
Yep.
And it is located next to a town spelled V-I-E-N-N-A, Vienna.
That's how they pronounce it, Vienna?
Vienna and Cairo.
Oh, my goodness.
But that's the thing. If you say Cairo or Vienna, people will look at you like you're the stupidest human being on the planet.
Minnesotans, like, you know, we always hear it. It's like, oh, you know, different up here. You know, you're not. This happens everywhere.
It's global. Yeah. It's global.
There was a town in Indiana when I lived in Indiana. I lived in Noblesville. Easy to pronounce. Looks like it's spelled right.
Great amphitheater there.
Yes, exactly.
Deer Creek.
Right next to Noblesville is a town that's spelled Carmel. John, how would you pronounce that?
Carmel.
Yeah.
Carmel.
Carmel.
Carmel?
Brian. Brian McDaniel.
Well, I mean, in a city, I would say Carmel, because I'm California.
Yeah, I think California. Carmel.
My middle name is Carmel, so I'd say Carmel.
It's Carmel. It's Carmel. And they get mad if you say Carmel. It's like, I just moved here. Get off my case.
It is such a weird ownership. But again, I think it really does zero in on that local.
It's tribal, almost. Because it's tribal. If you just mispronounced like a dictionary type word, right, that had no local meaning, you know, if you just, especially ambiguous, and you said ambiguous or something,
right,
people would feel like a jerk to correct you on that. But oh man, say the street name wrong.
Well, and here, I mean, very famously, there was a new sportscaster named Russell Shimoka on Channel 11 okay. Once upon a time, who was from out of town. He didn't grow up here, and he said a couple of names wrong, like Sam Jake. Jacobson, and he never made it here, and it was because Minnesotans love, and not, the four of us are not natives, but they love to correct you on what you know, Wyzetta and all these things.
Yeah,
but what I always say is that in a state that calls a city New Prague, having been to Old Prague, that you don't get to act superior to anybody.
The Wyzetta one drives me nuts because there's no reason that should be pronounced that way when you look at how it's spelled.
Do you know the most famous mispronouncing of Wyzetta was on 90210? You know that you know Brendan and Brenda or whatever their names. Brandon,
sure, pretend you don't know.
Whatever. they were from Wyzetta.
But
on the show they said Wyzetta.
Yeah.
And also on the show Coach, they once said Shakopee.
I remember what started it now. It was the gray duck.
And
it was that's what started it. Because the point that we were making was the way that was handled, in my view, was it came off as such a negative, mm-hmm. instead of being something that could have been, hey, we just do it different here.
Right.
Everybody went on the attack.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it was just duck, goose nonsense. Everybody kind of went on the attack with it, and I kind of went, no, that would have been a really good opportunity to stop and go, this is a circumstance where we absolutely are different, because this is the only state that does that.
Yeah.
When you look at the map, we were the only one. And it was perceived as such a, oh, wow, you're not doing that here, you know, with the Vikings. And it seemed like so unnecessary angst.
Yeah, we've all encountered the duck, gray duck, goose thing a million times since we've all moved here. But this was the first time that I actually kind of got angry about it. And it was because it was so, there was a tinge of meanness.
Yeah.
In it. And I don't even know where that came from, because that was kind of new.
Yeah, I think it comes from that same place. It's just, you know, you're an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a global thing, too. We talked about that show. Have you ever seen League of Gentlemen, the British comedy show?
No.
There's a whole bit on there where there's a couple that owns a convenience store on a rural road. And anytime somebody comes in that they don't know, they freak out. Oh, he's not local.
Yeah.
So they act like he's, you know, he's from outer space or something.
Yeah, Brian and I lived in Illinois for a long time.
Hey, before we wrap things up, real quick. So I've been holding on this one for a while, but they're talking about the end of the TV remote is closer than we think.
Huh.
The television remote could be a thing of the past, according to scientists who have developed new technology that allows the device to be controlled through gestures instead. Mm-hmm. Now, they would have had to have upgraded the...
I just imagine me watching one of my favorite nighttime shows and inadvertently changing the channel super fast a whole bunch of times.
Was not where I was going to go. But when you think of the Xbox Kinects and how bad that worked, they would have had to have really updated the technology to work significantly better than that. Because that's probably the closest thing that we have right now to using.
Because
the video games and all that, I could never get into those. They say that they've come up with a system that makes it possible to interact with the screens by simply using body movements or waving objects.
I don't like that idea at all.
A simple webcam. The match point works by displaying moving targets that orbit a small circular widget at the corner of the screen.
Maybe someday, but based on the Xbox Kinect, we are far away from that technology.
Based on the effective. Remember the clapper, and you'd drop a hardback book on the table, and the whole place would go dark or whatever. I'm gonna gesture at my wife because I talk with my hands a little bit. I'm gonna end up buying a movie on on demand.
The scientists say that this technology provides a lot of flexibility because it's not trained to look for a specific body part. It works even when your hands are full or when standing or slouching on the sofa.
No. What if you're hunched over the sofa in kind of an arched position? I'm asking for a friend.
Our method allows for a much more user-friendly experience where you can change the channels without having to put down your drink.
Real quick before we went, and no, I don't want that. I don't want that at all. My remote's fine. In fact, they've simplified remotes so much in recent years. I use an Amazon Fire. It's literally got like three buttons. That's it. It's great. I love it. Real quick, Brian Miller, the answer to your clues this morning?
Oh, yeah. Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey. Very good. Correct. We had a lot of correct answers. We had some people guessing Andy Kaufman.
Sure. Which interesting, because he was the subject movie.
He was the subject of the movie. Congratulations to listener Keith, who random number generator selected out of all the correct guesses. Keith is the winner. You have a four-pack of Acme Comedy Company tickets coming your way. Brian McDaniel, well done.
Thank you.
You want to plug your...
Well, please, everyone, listen to the Wrong About Everything show.
Yeah.
And also, I will be at Flat Earth Brewing next Thursday for the open mic that I host.
Brian Miller, anything you want to plug?
I'm doing a show at Brave New Workshop this Saturday if you want to pop by. It's 8 o'clock, I think.
Fantastic. And you've got Acme shows coming up.
Oh, yeah. That's the big one. New Year's Eve week, December 26th to the 31st. It's going
to
be great.
I just want to plug everybody to have a good weekend.
Have a wonderful weekend, everybody.
That's right.
Well done, Brianne.
Nice job.
We'll be back on Monday.
Hey, guys. To communication.
I'm Chris Addison here with